This is KMXT Kodiak, 100.1 FM. KMXT is also in HD, and we have HD2 and HD3 as well. We're also streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. Here in Kodiak, it's foggy and misty, 39 degrees, east winds 12 miles per hour. Today, the high is up to 41, rain mainly before 3 p.m., southwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour, gusts up to 30 throughout the day, 100% chance of precipitation. I know I got wet on my way to work this morning. Tonight, those gusts could be as high as 40 miles per hour, and rain and snow showers likely, with a low of about 35. Tomorrow, Saturday, looks like there's going to be more rain and snow, and Sunday, there's going to be scattered snow showers as well. Looks like it's going to be a wet weekend, but make sure you stay tuned. We have the midday report coming up, and we also have a live spotlight today. We'll have some musicians in here to play some music straight for you listeners. We'll be back after NPR headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. More blistering reaction today from the White House to Special Counsel Robert Hur's damning assessment of President Biden's mental acuity. Hur characterized the 81-year-old president as an elderly man with a poor memory. Today, Vice President Kamala Harris issued her own assessment of Robert Hur's work.
The way that the president's demeanor in that report was characterized could not be more wrong on the facts and clearly politically motivated. Gratuitous.
But the special counsel's investigation determined that no criminal charges against Biden were warranted for his mishandling of classified documents. With the release of the report, the case is effectively closed. Former President Donald Trump, who is 77, is facing a raft of felony charges related to his mishandling of classified documents. Immigration policy analysts are examining the failed $118 billion bill that would have overhauled key immigration policies. They say lawmakers' efforts continue to buckle under the weight of the politics surrounding immigration. Texas Public Radio's Maria Navarro has details.
The measure could have been one of the most significant legislative immigration reforms in recent decades. An analysis by the Migration Policy Institute finds that despite more than 500 immigration-related executive actions taken by the Biden administration, Congress must act. Musa Farchisti is a policy analyst with the Institute.
People shout from top of their rooftops that we want to control immigration, but when it actually comes down to providing the policies and the resources and the staffing to do it, they collapse.
Chishti says lawmakers often use the issue for political gain, especially during an election year. I'm Marianne Navarro in San Antonio.
Last week, big tech company Apple publicly launched a wearable mixed reality headset. It's called the Vision Pro. But some viral videos online of consumers driving while wearing them have prompted road safety concerns. NPR's Deepa Mutasham has more.
Videos have already cropped up online showing people wearing the $3,500 Apple Vision Pro headset while driving their Tesla, hands off the wheel. Even if staged, such videos have forced the U.S. Department of Transportation to weigh in, warning people to always be fully engaged while driving. Because the Vision Pro works by blocking out all light, the user has to rely completely on headset cameras to see the external world. Experts say the device poses dangers not only because it can cause distractions while on the road, but also because it doesn't perfectly reproduce human vision. As for the law, whether the behavior shown in these videos is illegal could vary state by state. It's still a bit of a gray area. Deepa Mutasham, NPR News.
This is NPR. Whether it's a song that autoplays on Spotify or a video recommended on YouTube or TikTok, algorithms dominate the online lives of a lot of people. NPR's Bobby Allen takes a look at a nascent protest movement.
Tyler Bainbridge is a former Meta engineer who lives in Brooklyn. To escape ever-present algorithms, he launched his own social media site. It's called PI.FYI. The PI stands for Perfectly Imperfect. You're prompted to answer questions like, what did you read last week? And a small group of friends chime in. There are no algorithms or popularity contests. Bainbridge says the site is a protest against what he calls algorithmic culture.
My mom can go on the app and recommend shepherd's pie, and it doesn't feel out of place next to a downtown New Yorker talking about a new band that they like.
Bainbridge isn't alone. More and more experts say people are turning to personalized newsletters and websites run directly by artists and musicians. And an old thing is becoming new. Asking, say, a bookstore or record store clerk for a recommendation instead of a machine. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
An attorney for Britain's Prince Harry says his client has reached an out-of-court settlement with Mirror Group Newspapers. David Sherborne said today that the tabloid newspaper publisher has agreed to pay substantial costs and damages to settle a case over phone hacking and invasion of privacy. But the Duke of Sussex has said he will continue his mission to hold British media accountable, which he has accused of harassing his wife Meghan and his late mother Princess Diana. The Dow has closed down 54 points. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR produce programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism and cultural expression.
It's 12:06 in Kodiak. I'm Brian Benoit. It's time for the Midday Report. Hundreds of Kotzebue residents have been without drinking water since Monday. The city of Kotzebue declared an emergency yesterday. As KOTZ's Desiree Hagen reports, some residents report having dark brown water coming from their pipes, while others have no running water at all.
Tessa Baldwin is the city manager for the city of Kotzebue.
Our public works team currently is working basically around the clock to fix the issue, and we are contracting out a lot of this work because it is a bigger project than what we could handle in-house right now.
Kotzebue's water runs on a loop system, and the largest of the city's five loops is clogged. After pressure was lost, the water in the city pipes froze. Baldwin says problems can compound with aging infrastructure.
When you are trying to fix a 1950s water pipe, or water loop, I should say, there's a lot of other factors that come into play.
She says public works staff now have to dig up the water loop to find and fix the clog. Baldwin says the lack of water makes a difficult situation, not only for health risks, but for emergency situations like fires. City officials have reported cracked pipes on the loop so far, after finding similar damage on another loop last month. Baldwin says Kotzebue's water infrastructure is in desperate need of repair to secure the community's public health. The city has had over 24 alerts for water quality issues over the past year. Residents that do have running water are reporting it's dark brown. Baldwin says the discoloration is likely from elevated levels of manganese. She says the brown water is safe but should be boiled.
We are currently advising our residents that if you do have running water, to continue with the boil water notice. For those completely without water, please temporarily shut off your water circulation pump and electric hot water heater for a little bit and then turn it back on and then see if that works.
The Environmental Protection Agency has linked long-term exposure of high levels of manganese to a neurological disorder similar to Parkinson's disease. Infants who are bottle-fed are especially susceptible if water with high levels of manganese is mixed with formula. City officials are currently working with the Native Village of Kotzebue, the city's tribe, to deliver potable water and buckets to citizens affected by the clogged loop. City staff are also conducting a survey of households to gauge how the damaged loop is affecting them. Baldwin says there is no definitive timeline for when Kotzebue's most recent water issues will be resolved. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
And the Kodiak City Council wants to allocate more of its sales tax revenue to fund capital improvement projects like road repairs. Council members took up the issue at its regular meeting on Thursday night. KMXT's Davis Hovey reports.
The amount of money generated by local sales tax in Kodiak has increased over the last 3 years at an average of 6%, even though the actual tax has stayed at the same rate. That means $15 million going into the city's coffers annually from sales tax alone. City code caps how much of that money could go towards road improvements at just $500,000. But a proposed ordinance on the council's agenda last night would raise the cap by $1 million. City Manager Mike Tavenghi says that due to rising inflation costs and the addition of new sales tax revenue in recent years, the current code, which was passed nearly two decades ago, needs to be updated.
The city had reached a point where revenues needed to be increased or services needed to be cut. This is back in 2006. At the time, changes to the city code were recommended to sections that dedicated general fund revenues for a specific purpose, again, roads, parks, and harbor, and the amounts were decreased to $500,000, respectively.
Similarly, the proposed amendments would allocate up to $1.5 million of sales tax revenue to the Port and Harbors Fund that is solely used for harbor capital improvements, as opposed to pulling that money from the General Fund or Ports and Harbor Fund later on. Although the city's sales tax revenue is going up, costs for capital improvement projects are also rising. That requires a larger amount of the city's general funds to cover the road, ports and harbor, and other capital improvement funds. Councilmember Charles Davidson questioned what a separate allocation for Kodiak Shipyard would be used for, to which Tavenghi answered,
"Typically it would be for capital improvements or operations too." And as we just had the audit report a couple days ago, we noted a $400,000 loss in the shipyard, so this would help alleviate that as well.
The council voted to move the ordinance amending the cap on sales tax allocations forward to the next regular meeting, where it could be officially passed. The Kodiak City Council also decided to cancel their next regular meeting on February 22nd, since four council members will be traveling during that time. Instead, the council is expected to hold a special meeting later this month. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
In Alaska Supreme Court, Chief Justice Peter Mawson delivered his first State of the Judiciary address on Wednesday to a joint session of the Alaska Legislature, Alaska Public Media reports.
The state of the judiciary is, in a word, good. You may want me to leave it there, but I do intend to get further into the details later on.
During the half-hour address, Mawson ticked through a variety of success stories from the past year that he said improved the court system's accessibility and efficiency. He spotlighted several measures courts implemented during the pandemic, including remote hearings, electronic filing, and changes to jury selection procedures. He proceeded to a Supreme Court order that took effect in November, making many court hearings remote by default.
For example, most evidentiary proceedings in criminal cases and other types of cases that involve trial or evidentiary hearings are presumptively in person, whereas a lot of hearings involving things like the status of discovery, scheduling, and settlement are presumptively remote.
Mawson said he also recently urged judges around the state to make more use of restorative justice programs.
Restorative justice may include circle sentencing or another culturally based practice that incorporates input not just from the victim, but from the community at large. And it may result in a recommendation to the judge as to what the sentence should be. It's another way to help Alaskans see the court system as a part of the community, reflecting its values and not apart from it.
Mawson also highlighted other recent changes, including one that simplifies tribes' legally mandated access to hearings for Native children in need of aid. He said the court system was also working through its backlog of criminal cases by adjusting its calendars and limiting continuances. He did not provide specifics on the size of the backlog. The Chief Justice also underlined some of the court system's budget requests to the legislature, including a fund that could be used to fight back against cyber attacks and upgrades to court facilities in Palmer. And law enforcement in Ketchikan has been busy this week. They seized 2 pounds of meth and almost 15,000 counterfeit pills containing fentanyl. The bust is linked to another seizure of nearly 10,000 pills back in January, and as KRBD's Jack Darrell reports, it adds up to one of the largest drug busts in Ketchikan history.
Altogether, the two busts were worth about $1.7 million of the drugs sold on the street. Back in January, Ketchikan police arrested Andrew Hansen after they found about a half pound of powders containing meth and fentanyl. They also seized almost $15,000 in cash, a .38 special handgun, and nearly 10,000 counterfeit oxycodone pills containing fentanyl. Hansen was still behind bars on Tuesday when detectives carried out another seizure of nearly 15,000 fentanyl pills and approximately 2 pounds of meth. They say it's all part of the same investigation. And according to Alaska State Troopers, the seized fentanyl is about 38,000 fatal doses, enough to kill every one of the 14,000 people on Revilla Island multiple times over. Trooper spokesman Austin McDaniel said in an email that, besides Hansen, no additional charges have been filed. The flow of fentanyl into Ketchikan has become a major pain point in the community. Members of the Alaska National Guard were also in Ketchikan this week. They were deployed to brief the community on fentanyl. They held a community meeting at the Ted Ferry Civic Center.
Unresponsive at this time. ETA about 2 minutes. Any further?
The briefing began with the National Guard showing attendees a short film by Dominic Tierno called Dead on Arrival. Sergeant Elijah Gutierrez is a civil operator with the National Guard's counter-drug support program.
Who here knows someone, a loved one, a relative, or just someone around who's died from overdose?
Nearly everyone in the crowd put their hands up. Gutierrez then broke the news about the day's bust.
20,000 pills for Ketchikan tonight that aren't here, but others are getting through. You're being targeted because a pill here costs $100 versus $10 in Anchorage. It's very lucrative to sell pills here.
He said the goal tonight is prevention through education. Gutierrez referenced something a Ketchikan high school student said to him to demonstrate the severity of the situation.
You can't even try it. You can't even try. You can't even try to experiment with drugs because you just don't know what's in them and you don't know if you're going to die. And I was like, job done. If a high school student knows about that, has the information and is aware of it, that's hope.
The Ketchikan Wellness Coalition also took the stage to talk about youth prevention. Director Jackie Yates said the coalition uses federal grants to bring drug prevention instruction to local schools. The coalition will also be holding an event in May where parents can walk through a mock high schooler's staged bedroom and attempt to spot hidden signs of drug and alcohol misuse. One resident asked if the video was being shown at the local warming shelter to educate the homeless population. Yates says the island's homeless population is not necessarily the targeted audience.
I think it's also poignant to note that the majority of people who are consuming fentanyl are actually not homeless individuals, which is really shocking as well. It is far more prevalent outside of that population just based on price and access.
Another concern raised was whether the local police and the National Guard are testing seized fentanyl for xylazine. That's a veterinary sedative that, when mixed with fentanyl, increases fatality. Xylazine makes naloxone, or Narcan, the standard treatment for someone overdosing on an opioid like fentanyl, not work. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration reported in 2022 that nearly a quarter of all fentanyl tested positive for xylazine. Ketchikan Police Chief Jeff Walls said he isn't aware of any statistics on xylazine, but the fentanyl on the island is getting stronger. Enough so that they increased the standard Narcan dosage administered by the island's emergency responders.
We are seeing an increase in the potency of the fentanyl. Is that, either way, what we're looking at is it's a death sentence, you know, and that's, we want to get it off the street, so.
The Alaska National Guard also told Ketchikan first responders that their unit can assist with the community's fight against fentanyl in the future. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
And our last story for the Midday Report, the Kansas City football team and the San Francisco 49ers are headed to the Super Bowl in Las Vegas this Sunday. But as KNBA's Jill Freitas reports, not everyone will be cheering on the NFL championship game, including two Native American groups.
The Greater Kansas City Area Group, Not in Our Honor, plans to make the trip to Vegas for what members say will be a peaceful demonstration outside the stadium. They'll be joined by the group Arizona Rally Against Mascots. Members of the groups are advocating for the Kansas City team to change its name and for the end of Native cultural appropriation. Gaylene Krauser is the executive director of the Kansas City Indian Center and a member of Not in Our Honor. She'll be in Vegas for the demonstration and says that showing up to such a big event is important.
Stand up and show there is opposition to the use of our imagery and likeness and the bastardization of our culture and all of those things, that it's not okay and that they don't have the support of all of Indian country.
The Kansas City team has been gaining much attention, all due to the celebrity of Taylor Swift. The singer is dating one of the players. Krauser says she thinks Swift could be an advocate for the Native groups.
If she were to say to them, I want to support my boyfriend and I really want to do whatever I can, but this particular issue is wrong to have human beings as a mascot and to utilize the imagery that way and come out against it, I believe she would have a lot of sway.
Krauser says she's thankful Swift has not taken part in evoking an outdated stereotype of Native people when fans chant and do the tomahawk chop at games. And as far as the team changing its name, Krauser thinks it will have to take something drastic like a financial hit to make them change their minds.
I think that at this point, it's going to have to be some kind of financial thing that happens to the team, because everything else, as far as the opportunity, has been there for them to do it. They're all about the rhetoric, but they're not about any positive action.
Krauser says Not In Our Honor plans to continue to hold demonstrations for as long as it takes. In Anchorage, I'm Jill Freitas.
And that's it for your news from the Midday Report. We'll be back with the Island Messenger in just a minute.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor llama al 907-481-2400.
Corporate earnings are looking pretty good so far. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute. We're more than halfway through quarterly results reported by S&P 500 companies, and according to two data firms, the vast majority of companies have beaten earnings expectations. This is cheering Wall Street, where investors have sent the benchmark index to new highs. A lawsuit by passengers says Alaska Airlines was warned of a whistling sound during a previous flight of the same Boeing MAX 9 plane that lost a door plug mid-flight last month. The suit accuses Boeing and Alaska of negligence. Google is bringing a generative artificial intelligence tool it calls Gemini to mobile devices. It's now available in the U.S. as a digital aid on Android phones and on Google's iPhone app. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
First up, KMXD's Winter Twang is today, Friday, and tomorrow, Saturday, that's February 9 and 10, at Tony's Bar. There'll be local bands, LME Tiller and the Twang, and Crooked Island, plus in their first appearance in Kodiak, Wiley Post from Anchorage. You can come and enjoy live music, a little bluegrass, a little rock, and some Americana starting at 7:30 tonight. Tickets are available online at kmxt.org or at the door. We also have a special performance from some of the musicians today for our spotlight at 12:30. Make sure you stay tuned. We also have some public service announcements for the Kodiak Public Library. So Friday, February 9th at 3:30 p.m. today is Kodiak Hearts Valentine's Cards. Participants will make Valentine's cards for community volunteers. It's for patrons kindergarten up to 8th grade. Tomorrow, Saturday, February 10th at 1 p.m. is Crafternoon Valentine's Cookies Decorating. Participants will decorate festive cookies for their Valentine or self. That's again kindergarten through 8th grade. They're also still doing the genre reading challenge that runs through this month. You can try reading from different genres and record your reading on a bingo card at kodiak.beanstack.org and earn prizes and learn something new. For more information, you can ask for help at the front desk of the library. Senior citizens of Kodiak Island Cove Adult Day Program have been helping families to care for their elders for over 35 years. Adult day services provide relief for the family, reduce isolation for the adult, and offers a fun, stimulating place to spend a few hours in a safe environment. Adults participate in activities to regain strengths, do memory work, and stay connected to what's happening in the community and the world. If you've considered adult day services for your parents or spouse, you can call 486-2203 or visit the website at kodiakseniorcenter.org. Also, the City of Kodiak Public Works Department wants to remind the public with the recent cold spell to keep water running from a faucet to prevent pipes from freezing. During the cold spell without any snow cover, the ground is freezing to a lower depth than in past winters. Some residents are starting to experience water service lines that are buried at a shallow depth freezing. While the weather may fluctuate and get warm, they ask that the public please continue to keep the water running from a faucet. Even after the weather starts to warm up, the ground will stay frozen for an extended period of time, so pipes will continue to freeze. More information can be found on the city's online winter information guide on their website. Public Works can also be contacted at 486-8060. Scuttlebutt is still going on Tuesdays at the Kodiak Public Library from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. That's a Galley Tables workshop for youth. It's a free weekly storytelling workshop for students in high school where they practice building and sharing stories with help from experienced storytellers. More information can be found by calling 907-486-7396. We're currently in Season 10 of Galley Tables. The next one will be on Saturday, March 2nd. The theme is G-O-A-T, Greatest of All Time. That sounds pretty fun. And the Kodiak Island Borough has a few meetings coming up. The next one is Wednesday, 14th at 6:30 p.m. That's the Planning and Zoning Commission work session at the Borough Assembly Chambers. And on Thursday, February 15th, there's an assembly regular meeting, again, that's in the Borough Assembly Chambers. Meetings are open to the public, and you can contact the Borough Clerk's office at 907-486-9310 for any questions. That's it for your community announcements. We'll be right back with Byways. And then again, remember to stay tuned because we have some live musicians here in the studio to play for you in just a moment.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Hello, Kodiak, and welcome to the February 9th edition of Island Byways. I'm Pam Foreman. Holy glaciers, Batman. I rarely wish for more rain in the wintertime, but on Thursday, I found myself wishing for enough rain to melt away the ice. Enough sunshine and warmth would be nice, too, but rain seemed like a more realistic wish. In spite of the rain and wind, there are still good places to get out and roam around. Just be aware you might encounter lots of ice when down here at sea level. Like much of nature, it's beautiful, but can be hazardous. The ice along the mouth of the Buscan River is gorgeous, but walk carefully. Even the trails in the forested areas are icy. Cleats are recommended. Although skiers and boarders have been enjoying great snowpack at higher elevations, rain, wind, and warming temperatures can change things around in a hurry. Being aware of the conditions you are recreating in, including that of the snowpack, is crucial to staying safe in the backcountry. Skiing or snowshoeing down low? What are the conditions above you? Up on a slope? Are there cornices or signs of sloughing? The Alaska Avalanche School will be here teaching a 3-day Level 1 Avalanche Safety course March 15th through the 17th. Registration is available at alaskaavalanche.org. KMXT's Winter Twang is Friday and Saturday night at Tony's Bar. Dance away the rainy winter blues with local bands Ellamy Tiller and the Twang and Crooked Island, and introducing Anchorage band Wiley Post. Some of you might recognize the drummer of Wiley Post. He grew up here, and we're happy to have him back. The music starts at 7:30 both nights, and tickets are available at the door or online at kmxt.org. And that's it for Island Byways this week. Have fun and stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.